Health and Well-Being by Viv Trader. You will hear various experts share their knowledge within health and well-being. This podcast is based on facts and science. With knowledge, you can raise your awareness so that you can make better conscious decisions in your everyday life. Decisions that will benefit your health, the planet, and our future generations.
So today I have the real pleasure of meeting with Thomas. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, dear. And hey, everyone.
Yes, so nice to see you today. You look amazing. How's Thailand?
Thank you. Thailand is hot.
Yeah.
Doing fantastic, especially where I am. It's a really warm weather now and warm people and wonderful place to live and thrive. So I'm very glad I'm here.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Now, Thomas, who are you as a person? What do you do?
What do I do? And who am I as a person? Which answer do you want? Do you want me to answer first?
So you can. Who is Thomas?
That is the question. It's a combination of so many various things, I guess. So many various personalities and characters that I like to play. A bunch of experiences and emotions that allow me to go with life and to meet the new Thomas anew every time, and then letting go of that, and then appreciating a newness again, and then letting go of that. I'll talk from I a little bit, just to put an I in the sentences. I guess I'll say that I'm a very open person, open-minded, very kind, in desire to connect with people genuinely, to talk from the heart, to communicate from that place all the time with everyone.
Beautiful.
I've always desired to share my joy and my love to people. And I'm pretty happy because I think I'm in a very good place now where I do quite a good job.
Yeah, and you run the self-talk programming as well. How did you start with that? How did that journey begin?
Well, the origin of that journey, I'd say it began when I was a teenager. I was in a place where I was very much isolating myself after the divorce of my parents. And I was in school and very, very secluded, wearing black. My body was curving inside because I wasn't socializing with anyone. I was fighting physically with my family. I was in a place where I was facing a lot of the idea of rejection from others. So getting bullied for 3 years. And something happened in that at the end of the 3 years of that, I had the opportunity to dance and to express myself in front of all the schools and all the people that I thought had a particular image of me. And that image got destroyed instantly from that performance. And I remember being so relieved to see how my world could change after one day. And then from that place, I started to open up and to communicate more with people, to wear different colors. And I dived into more dancing. And I went to Australia also. I know that you said that you were both. Yeah. I stayed more in the East, and in Melbourne, close to Melbourne, I started to strip. So I was exploring my body and movements in order to make money and also to feel seen and to feel a new aspect of my confidence. And it's when I came here in Thailand, where I live now, about 4 years ago, that I realized that I really had something with my confidence, with the way I can move and I can embrace my sensuality and my body. And I started to guide people with that. It was my first client was a 67 years old woman who is amazing. And we worked together for 1 year, and she was in a place where she wasn't allowing herself to sleep on her bed. She was sleeping on the ground. She wasn't looking at herself in the mirror for more than 30 years. She hadn't been sexual towards herself for more than 30 years since her last kid. And now she's been blossoming in so many ways and finding truly what it means for her to love herself. So I was like, cool, now so
very
much
profound,
like and amazing relationship with that woman. Still, we're very good friends.
Did you teach her to dance?
She dances so well now. You can play a song, and she's an amazing musician too. So you can play a song for her, and she would recognize it straight away and play it back.
Wow, cool.
Without any mistakes. Now she dances on songs too, and on music, and she's just so present and so in her sensations, which is very very inspiring. Yeah. So I decided to make it bigger, and I was like, cool, I can learn neurolinguistics, and I can guide people with that to create programs where I have groups of people instead of doing one-on-one, which is what I'm doing now and what we are doing now.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. It's beautiful. So the first program that we dive into together is to restore inside of you this centeredness and to come back to a place of being able to perceive previous conditioning that is not benefiting for your life anymore. To be able to catch very clearly your self-talk, the thinking, the processes of emotions and thoughts that arise, so we can rewire and choose different ways of responding into life, so we can actually walk the path with having less attachment to those ideas about who we think we are. So this is a 21 days programming, and it's very intense. It's good. It's very good. Yeah, because it really brings you deep into meditation, into being mindful and very aware about everything that's happening in your life and the choices that we make, to understand if the choices and the behaviors that we have are actually bringing us towards the path and the direction where we really want to go. And so to be able to change that if it's not the case. So that's for 21
Amazing.
Days. So
that's wow. Fun. Mm-hmm. It must be mind-blowing seeing the results from day one to day 21. It would be a massive transformation, right? A person would undergo a massive, by being in meditation for 21 days. That sounds incredible.
Yeah. Well, we just had our last lives from the last programming yesterday, and they shared their experiences, and it's very life changing, big shift. Because people always come to a facilitator or a guide with specific problem in a specific area of their life, whether they're aware of it or not, or whether they know it deeply and specifically or not, they come for a specific reason. So when you allow them to see very clearly why they're here, what is bringing that particular event or thing to become a blockage inside of them, what it is that they want and how to cross over, it's pretty easy then. Because the only thing that you want them to be is very aware about their limitations, very aware about what they want and how they want to feel. And then there is inevitably a portal that's open for them to bring that inside of them and to heal naturally, because that becomes their focus, which is a pain usually that people don't want to look at. Now they're looking at it and they understand.
Yeah, we were talking about their pain, right?
So when we look at that pain or that suffering, when we observe that, the energy can transform and continue its course instead of staying stagnant somewhere within the body.
And do you do breathing exercises through the pain or?
Mm-hmm. We bring mindfulness on the breath in meditation and in movement. but we don't do breath work.
Okay. So there is a lot of people now on a healing journey, and I'm myself on a healing journey, and it's been many years now, but I can feel a massive, profound difference from where I was years ago to now. And it's so worth it, although it's a very painful process, meeting and facing all your demons and your ghosts, you know, talking about this programming that is not true. Do you find that people that you are working with are many years into a healing journey as well, or have they just begun their healing journey?
According to the last programming that we've had, they've all pretty much been to a nice place of self-awareness and self-discovery. I smile a bit and I put a pause on self-discovery because the idea of self-discovery is to realize that there is no self. But they're in a pretty good place of understanding the processes happening inside of them. Yeah.
And the inner peace you get when you're undergoing the healing, and when you can be present, life happens here and now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, here, right now. That's an amazing gift. That's what life is all about. Do you agree? Where do you want to be as a human being?
You mentioned that the gifts, I think that's the only true gift that's available in life experience, to be able as much as you can to come back and to train the mind to come back here and now, and to notice every time where the thinking is bringing you to places in the past, or constructed images of the future designed with anxieties. When you're able to perceive that and to come back here and to remember that right here, you're safe in this very moment, no matter what is the problem that you're facing in your life. Right here, the problem isn't here. Definitely is a precious gift that life presents. But it can be very difficult for people to understand that. To understand it intellectually, yes, but to understand it by feeling it deeply in the core of your being, because you have been in that place more than being unconscious about the true nature of reality, that asks quite some practices.
And everything just is. There's no judgment. If you let go of judgment, I find that has freed me up a lot.
Yeah. Judgment is like the last piece of claw that you put. Okay, so if we find this analogy, judgment is probably the last piece of claw that you have on top of you, that you have put at the very first place. So when you're going in a talent and you're in a place where everything feels so hot, then you remove that big coat that you had because it's way too hot. And then you find yourself with your pullover. And that big coat maybe was anger and frustration. You remove that and you're like, cool, I don't have that anymore. And I'm detached from it. I acknowledge it, and I'm not buying into the game of what the mind tells me about that. And then you have your pullover, and your pullover, maybe it's, you got more fears and insecurities about that. So then you let go of that fear. And then the last piece of cloth that you have on top of you is judgment and shame, because you've been having so many clothes on top of you. You've been feeling so many emotions about this very theme that is creating a blockage inside of your life. And that judgment is very sticky, and we sweat in it, and it doesn't feel good at all. It's one of the most terrible things that a human being can experience, judging himself for his own feelings or her own feelings, which are completely natural. but we are so designed to have suppressed them. So the last thing that we experienced because of that suppression for a long time ago, it is, I can't believe that this is here. Like, I don't want to feel that. Because once I felt it a long time ago, someone told me in my environment that it was not correct and I should not express myself. So I made sure that I put that feeling and emotion down deep inside. So every time that I recognize it and people see that I'm feeling this, there's a lot of judgment around that.
Thomas, what is the biggest fear you have faced in your life so far?
One of the biggest fear that I experienced was not that long ago. I was in Vipassana doing meditation for, I think it was 7 days. And the fear that came up was the fear of not being who I thought I was, and the fear of not being able to connect with my family, with my friends, because I would be so detached from so many stories and identification about who I thought I was. And I was afraid to let go of that. I was afraid to accept that. But you know what? It took me, I think, about 15 minutes where I just dwell in that fear. And I was so confused. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that because I'm not going to become human anymore. All those fears. And I'm not going to be able to love them in the way they love me. So that's the story. The story that can be very convincing. And whatever the story that you're facing as you're listening to this, the story really does not matter. But it's just a matter of the fear, the energy of that. The story can be convincing, but it truly is irrelevant because whatever the story says is not true and does not have to be true. And once I let go of that fear, what came was so much freedom and so much lightness. And so much relief realizing that, of course I love them, of course they love me, and we will communicate greatly. It's going to be very sticky. What fear did you let go of lately? That was
big. I think, I find that the healing journey is making so many changes within you. So things that used to be in alignment are no more a match, and that's many things and people, situations. So you just wake up one day and feel different, and you don't understand why, but you do understand why, because you're on a healing journey, but you don't know what's to come. So you're losing a lot of things, fading away in your life that no longer serves you. And that is bittersweet. What's your viewpoint on that? With things no longer matching or vibrating, have you experienced that too?
Definitely. I think it's impossible to bring a new perception without letting go of something that we were holding on to. Which implies what we call the death of an identity, or an identity shift. Is all of a sudden we start to look at and to perceive as the world from a different view, meaning that we have let go of that previous place in which we were observing the world from. And that can bring a lot of things that people don't want to let go of. Because out of a sudden, if I look at it from this perspective, I'm not who I was.
No.
Because this
person, that's right.
It's very different than this one. And that implies relationships. That implies material things. That implies thoughts you have about who you think you are and your type of personality. It implies so much.
Yeah, and when you're letting go of that programming as well, and you actually put yourself first, the self-love, the act of self-love on a daily basis, that becomes a habit and a normality once you practice it enough. And that can be difficult for people around you if they haven't done as much healing. So self-love is the key, I reckon, to everything. You have to start loving yourself first, and then everything is within and then without.
How would you say to people who are listening to us, what do they do for learning how to love themselves better?
Accept yourself for who you are, I think, and face your pain. It's temporary, if not permanent. And you're not going to die of it.
Some parts of you might.
Yeah, true. That was funny. Now, how do you find with talking about emotions? You know, we lived in a society where talking emotions has been very suppressed, and especially amongst men. Have you noticed a big shift with men being more open in sharing their inner feelings?
I'd say yes, because I've made that shift within me. And the people that I'm attracting now, they're very in tune with how they feel. So what I'm experiencing about the world now is a lot of men who are in a pretty good place of understanding how they feel and how they think and how they can commune with those vibrations. And I'd say also, I've come to a place of communication that allows me to bring that space with anyone. So the experience that I have with people and men in that regard is very open and fulfilling, and we tap into this feminine side that they don't allow themselves to show often. But because it's effortless for me, because that's how I talk, that's how I am. That's
right. Yeah.
So from that place, I'd say all the men, I found them extremely in tune with their feelings and emotions. So I think that's a great point, because what that says is, if you're doing your own healing journey, you will allow people to tap into, I was going to say higher vibrations, but deeper vibrations within themselves. So it's just a matter of when the work is done well, and when we are bringing that energy and that investigation to the self, it's just a matter of knowing how to communicate them. And communicating from a place of listening to people, really deeply listening, and acknowledging when we want to say things on top of what people say, and instead being like, no, I'm just listening here. And maybe I might ask a question. So we can allow people to open up. And eventually, when people open up, they share beautiful things about how they feel and how they think, something that maybe they never had the opportunity to do, because in their environment, no one is there listening to them. No one is there asking them questions. Or if people ask questions and they answer, they might not feel listened, because people are not in capacity to deeply listen without judging or without saying something on top of it. Or by truly listening to the full idea and process of someone, that's also something that's very important. Because if we want a man, as we were talking about a man here, but if we want a man to be able to share the way he feels, the process for him to be able to go there in that depth requires a lot of sentences and ideas first for him to feel safe and seen so he can get there. So if the process isn't being open enough for the man to get to that depth, he would never mention anything. And being able to listen and to communicate and to ask specific questions requires a lot of your luggage that are not here in the conversations. It requires of you being selfless and genuinely curious about meeting this being.
Yeah, and men are generally more lonely as well. I mean, as women, we stick together and talk, and whereas men tend to be more a loner wolf. Do you agree with that?
I agree in some aspects, yeah. Yeah. And also maybe, but that's maybe a projection of my past and how I relate with being with friends before. Because it's been a long time, I haven't been in Europe, right? So when I was there, unless there is one man who can bring the space for the others to dive deep into talking about what's meaningful and what's suppressed and what's there in within their body, conversations don't go there. It can stay very in different levels of understanding and perception. Let's say that if not much work has been done, men might be talking about sex and talking about this surface level of connection with women that is being desired. Different levels of understanding can bring men to talk about business, and all of a sudden it's all around business and achieving things. So it's different levels of thinking and values, according to also how much a man has dwelled in that thinking, mm-hmm. and how much a man has let go of the identity of that thinking. So to be able to step in a higher level of consciousness, and that's for men and women, to be honest.
Yeah, and then back to that vibration as well. The more healing work you do, the more aware you become of your thoughts, your thought patterns, programming, etc., you attract like-minded people, and you can then have the deeper conversations because you're on the same page.
Definitely.
Gorgeous. Where do you hope we are in 10 years from now in the world?
So the vision that I have about it is not maybe the place where I wanted the world to be. That's funny, because I had a great conversation with a bro of mine yesterday about that. It's definitely a big part of the future that's ahead. And the consciousness that is streaming from the human body and the consciousness that is streaming from AIs is pretty much the same thing. AIs are just a creation from mankind, but the experience of reality from that consciousness that is within both is no difference. What's going to be interesting to see is, because 25 years ago, let's even say that, 25 years ago, .com was not even created. And now we're already in the world with AIs, being able to translate a complete idea or sentence into a whole system of paragraph and well-designed text for a website that can be built in an instant, just like that. So in 25 years, or in 10 years, I think the chips, in order to bring AI consciousness within the human body, is gonna be a big shift for humanity. because that will give access for the people who will be able to tap into that, to tap into a knowledge that we can't even comprehend, to tap into an understanding and a perception of reality that we can't imagine. And that can bring a lot of power, tremendous amount of power.
So do you think that we will like implement a chip in the human body?
Oh yeah. But it will become, it would be extremely expensive. It wouldn't be something available for everyone, not only for the amount of money, because of course that will be kept for an elite of people who are, who have a lot of financial and who have a lot of deep connections. Plus, the person, the individual who would volunteer to receive that chip must have a capacity of understanding how to navigate from being human and being an AI. And that is not, that is not a door that everyone can access, because the system would completely fry if a person isn't ready to jump into such a transformation. I think the idea of the person that you are once this chip is implanted inside of the brain can be completely gone. So not only the decision is beyond life-changing, eventually in 25 years it will become normal, definitely, to know that there are some people having a chip in their brain. But what a lot of people might not understand is the depth and the vastness of the amount of knowledge and data that this superhuman would be able to access.
Gary.
I know, right? And exciting at the same time. Because there is so, those are the kind of things that we have no control upon. And it's just a matter of being like, cool, what's going to be next now? I'm curious. And then we make hypothesis. Or then we have visions.
But the part of the human experience is going through the pains and emotions. And if we become like automized robots, like this is how you should think and tap into this massive powerhouse of knowledge, and I don't know, I have no idea, but it's just unreal at this point, I think, to even imagine that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a sense you're right. It's like, what will happen to a place that most of us might be right now? Those are just thoughts. And
yeah,
if we want to be ready for that, which might happen.
Do we have our own thoughts, or are they like through the ship? Like, what's real and what's fake?
Mm. Well, I think in regard to that, the person who would have that chip in, implanted inside of the brain would be in a place of very high understanding of the mind and the body connection. I don't see that opportunity, someone who can access to that chip, not mastering in a way the mental and the emotional processes. Now, that doesn't mean, that doesn't talk about the intention of the person, but in terms of receiving such a massive amount of data, it's required from my understanding of what that can do. So the thought, I see more like the separation between the human being and the AI being.
between them both.
Mm.
And maybe the human being isn't there anymore. Maybe the idea of what a human being isn't there. If we consider that the human being isn't just a physical aspect, because they would look like you and me, but they would probably be able to manipulate matter in a way that we can't even understand also. So what they would be able to do with their body would be completely extraordinary.
Wow. Thomas, it's been amazing to have you here today and hear your story and your journey and your amazing work you do by spreading light and love, joy, making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Such
What's
a pleasure.
Your final word to everyone out there?
Dream and create.
Dream
and, don't stop.
And create and don't stop. Go
yeah.
for it.
Go for it. And eventually, you will let it come to you.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. It was very nice.
I hope you got some valuable information today that will help you increase your health and well-being. Thank you for listening and see you next time.